Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Ryan Hammer, scouting, insights, analytics, basketball junkie, bracketology, many things. That's what he does. He joins us now on 365 Sports with Paul Craig, and I'm David Smoke. Ryan, did you wake up in a like out of fog after watching Virginia last night against Colorado State?
That was surely something. I think it's a nice way of saying it.
Well, I was trying to be nice. I was. That's not normally always my MO, but I was trying to be nice. So let me ask you this. We'll start with your bracket. You spit out bracket. You mentioned, I think, San Diego State was something that you had pegged last year. Is there anybody that might surprise a few people on how you have it going this year?
Yeah, I mean, there's always surprises, and I like to be a little ambitious, obviously, with everything. And what's March Madness brackets without having a little fun? But I think New Mexico is a pretty popular dark horse pick. I'm pretty high on New Mexico. I've been all year. And they are going to be in Baylor's region, which is going to be an – hopefully we get them to play because they are going to be – that's going to be an unbelievably even match game. I also like Dayton, who's in that region, who hasn't really gotten enough love. And I like a team like Drake out of the East region, who everyone's looking at Iowa State and UConn, but I'm looking at Tennessee Drake.
Ryan, when you mentioned Drake, they're going to have a little bit of the coaching, you know, bubble hanging over their head with their coach being up for a lot of jobs. What about them makes you think that they can make a deep run?
Yeah, well, the fact that they've won a good league that doesn't get enough love. The MVC, outside of just them and Indiana State, who everyone won in the tournament, of course, and they're a very good team. It's a good conference with Bradley and UNI and some other good teams. They won it last year, and they played Miami really, really tight in the round of 64. They just happened to play Miami, who was on an unbelievable heater in March, and obviously they went to the Final Four. Love their efficient offense. They brought in a good freshman in Kevin Overton. They brought in Atten Wright, a really good transfer, and Tucker DeVries is one of legit the best players in the entire tournament and doesn't get enough love. So,
Ryan, what are your thoughts about Kansas now without Kevin McCullough?
I think they're going to struggle. I didn't like their matchup against Stanford and Buckyball with McCullough because they don't have depth. They don't like to play at a high pace, and Stanford's going to go deep into the bench, and they're going to press you the whole entire game. I think they're going to struggle even if they get out of that first game. I don't see them getting out of the first weekend.
Ryan, the one of the hot teams going in after the SEC tournament would be Auburn. They're in UConn's portion of the bracket. To me, they're a team that could easily be in the Final Four and win a national title based on their defense and the fact that they score. They seem to be very well-rounded. What do the numbers say about Auburn?
The numbers will say they can win the national title. I've ran numbers a lot on based on historical metrics and stats, who can win the title. There are six teams that you'd expect, and then there's Auburn, and it makes a lot of sense. Their efficiencies are really high. They haven't been amazing all year against the best teams. But they haven't had a crack at a team like UConn and stuff, really, other than really Baylor from that game in Sioux Falls outside of the SEC. But I agree. I think Auburn can 100% match up very well with UConn.
What team that is a brand name, perhaps, but has not had a really good year, do you think might make a run this year?
Interesting. I don't know if there are many because I don't like the Michigan State and Duke. I think Kentucky has a really good path, but I know that their defense is non-existent, and they have been inconsistent and shown an inability to adapt to their opponents. So I think their path is really good for the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. But I have so many doubts just in the back of my head about them.
What about a team that has underperformed perhaps from what were the expectations, making a run because they got a lineup. They got stars. They got playmakers. They got guys that are experienced. Anyone that pops out to you on that?
Yeah, while I don't love the first round game because I think it's a 50-50 game, I like Gonzaga if they can get past McNeese. And McNeese is a team that I have been speaking about for months. But I think Gonzaga is underrated because they're not this team that's been in the limelight all year, but they have tons of experience, guys that have been in the tournament. Ryan Nembhard literally ran an Elite Eight tournament team last year at Creighton, and they could face Creighton actually in the Elite Eight in that region. But I think Gonzaga's got that chance.
Who is got to be like right off the top? You mentioned Kansas, not that you're saying they'll lose that game, but that could be dicey, and especially with McCullough. Although they're almost used to not playing with him. Is there somebody that is ranked among the top one or two or three seeds that early on has one of those, you better be careful, you could get blindsided?
Yeah, I'd say there's a couple teams. I think Marquette is a little interesting because they're not fully healthy. Tyler Kolek's going to be fine in play, but how healthy and how deep can they go? They have a tougher game with Western Kentucky, who likes to really open it up and run, and then they could get Florida or a Colorado team that I really like, and then maybe Kentucky. And I think, I hate to say it, I think Iowa State out of the Big 12, who's been so good recently, but history will tell you that teams that don't start the season ranked and on radars end up being a top two seed. They usually average less than two wins per tournament, which would put you out in the first weekend. So I like Iowa State a lot, but in a tough draw against South Dakota State and then maybe Drake, they might be packing.
Ryan, which team do you think, outside of Virginia, obviously, but that is in the field did not deserve it the most?
The answer is Virginia, to be completely honest. When I did my last bracketology, they were the only team that got in that I did not have in. So I hate to give you a bad answer, but it's Virginia.
What is it about Nevada? And not the fact they're good. They're really good. And there's always that kind of a team. There's like three or four of them that will get to the Sweet 16. And you have them knocking Arizona out and making a run.
Yeah, I think the winner of Dayton, Nevada, whoever it's going to be, gets out. I think both of those teams can really crunch the game down but still play a really efficient offense and force Arizona into playing so many less possessions than they're used to. And I think out of the teams, I look at Baylor, New Mexico, Dayton, Nevada, I like one of those four teams to come out of that little pod and get to the Elite Eight.
What are your thoughts? Let's go down to Big 12, if you don't mind. You've mentioned Iowa State. We've discussed Kansas. Obviously, what Houston did, they had the injury with Roberts at the end. Really good throughout the year. I even had their play-by-play, Jeremy Branham, on earlier about have they run out of gas, and that's what can happen in a conference where you're just getting always just like a pounding, even if you win. What are your thoughts about Houston? And then we'll go down the list.
Yeah, I love Houston. I think they can easily win the national title. I think this is the year of them not being in the AAC. They're playing, and we talk about the Big 12, the best league in the country by far. They play these teams like Kansas and Baylor and Iowa State night in, night out. They're much more prepared down the stretch of the season to be able to make a run to the national title. So I think they have that upside 100%.
Baylor has announced that Langston Love is out, at least early on, and maybe for the rest of the tournament. If they have the rest of the tournament, they have Colgate. Right. And then, of course, it never is easy. They've won the national title, been knocked out the next year by North Carolina early, and then, of course, last year struggled too. What are your thoughts about Scott Drew and the Bears?
Listen, I've been a Baylor truther, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on with y'all. I've been a truther since they won the national title. I came down to Waco this year for the first time. I linked up with Ray J. Dennis and a couple of the guys. We did some behind-the-scenes stuff. I was at that Houston game. They went to overtime, an unbelievable thriller. I love this Baylor team. My issue with the team is that they've been turning the ball over way too much, really all year, but mostly in the last 10 games, and the defense has been very inconsistent. I'm sure you guys know these things. I think they have what it takes to easily make a Final Four run. But they have a really tough draw. I mentioned teams like New Mexico that match up really well against them in the round of 32. It could be dangerous.
You mentioned Ray J. Dennis. He's one of those. He's been really good. But oh, yeah. He and Nunn and others, they turned the ball over. You mentioned that. And it seemed like some of them are the opponents, you know, forcing them. But there's a lot of what looked like to me is unforced type errors, too.
Yeah, there's small things that you notice that you kind of get upset at watching. And obviously you guys as fans probably are really upset because, you know, Ray J. Dennis, like you said, is one of the best and most secure playmakers and passers in the country. He's so underrated. He has great vision. I love his game. And you just kind of get upset when little things happen that you know is a mistake that's way beyond his quality.
Ryan Hammer, scouting, insights, analytics, bracketology, defense appreciator, and more. Well, Baylor's defense is not appreciative. They're not very good on defense, ranked like in the high 200s. Will that be their Achilles? Even though you mentioned they're capable of outscoring some people.
Yeah, and they can definitely do that. And you look at the team that won the national title, which is not really fair, but even the team the year after with Jeremy Sohan and Kendall Brown and everybody, like, they had a lengthy athletic defense that was versatile, where they don't have a lot of big pieces like that. I love Eve Meese's game, but he's still got some to learn. And sometimes when they play the defensive four on the outside like they have and him in the post on the inside, he's alone at times and he gets in foul trouble every now and then, even with Josh and JCT to come in and help out and assist. It's not easy. I don't think they have the defensive versatility and Swiss Army knife like a Jeremy Sohan and guys like that to be able to have that level of defense. I think it could be their Achilles heel because if they get into a really open game, I keep mentioning New Mexico because that's who they're probably going to play if they get out past Colgate, but that's a team that loves to play open games like that and offensive, so they don't want it to get too reckless.
Ryan, Jacoby Walter and Eve Meese will be more than likely NBA draft picks or enter their names into the NBA draft. Do you think that's a wise decision for them basketball-wise or that they should stay another year?
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby, he was kind of on the lottery radar all year. He hasn't dropped past that. Eve has been a riser for sure. I think, you know, it's up to them, obviously, what's going to be best for them. I was able to talk to Eve a little bit when I was down there and for a little while and connect. He's a great guy also, and they're great young dudes. I think they're mentally and physically ready. So it's really just up to them to where they see their game and what their end goal is. So in a vacuum, I guess, yes, as long as they're getting what they deserve and what they earn and that's first round picks and the money that they want to get. But it's up to them ultimately.
You have Charleston and Alabama. You have Charleston advancing. I was looking at, you have like five or six double digit seeds, which of course is what to me makes that first week and who can continue on so special. Alabama has this offense that can put up 100 points a game. Is that just a matchup where Charleston can match them with what they do too?
Yeah, so my official bracket, it was like an AI generated with some stats and stuff, but my official bracket does have a lot of things. Charleston and Alabama is going to be as much of a shootout as you want. Both teams can put up 90 points with ease. I think that benefits Alabama, actually, because they would love to try to get anyone to keep up with them. Their offense is unbelievable, and they have no defense. So I think that's a game that they like, but I just don't know how they're going to be able to make a big tournament run without playing any lick of defense.
All right, we've discussed Houston, Baylor, Iowa State, KU, Texas Tech with Grant McCaslin. They've been gritty. That's the kind of coach he is. They've really done well. And hammered Baylor to close out the regular season. Your thoughts about the Red Raiders?
Yeah, they're interesting. The NC State game is going to be weird, the first game, because it's hard to peg what kind of quality you're going to get out of NC State. Is it what we saw in the ACC tournament? Is it what we saw majority of the season? But I think Texas Tech stands a better chance versus Kentucky for sure, just to completely terrorize them and take them out of the offensive comfort that they have. So Grant McCaslin is one of a few handful of coaches who can implement a system to beat a team like Kentucky. So
BYU, a team that at times has been really good, and they've stayed that way, and they lost in the tournament, but everybody does, but one team in Iowa State. They just seem to be a really good team that has maybe been under the radar a little bit. Your thoughts about the Cougars?
Yeah, and it's funny, we talk about these teams, and how awesome is it for the Big 12 to get even better adding Houston and BYU and Cincy? It's really been awesome. But I agree, I think they're a little bit underrated. They have a really good draw because Duquesne is an overseeded 11, And they match up very well against Illinois, who honestly has a tough matchup against Morehead State, I think. Mm-hmm. So I like BYU's size and three-point shooting to have a really good shot against Illinois.
All right, now let's go to TCU and then Texas. TCU, a little erratic at times. They won that triple overtime game in Waco. The Frogs and Jamie Dixon.
They are erratic is a good word. They like to play kind of crazy and reckless a little bit. Utah State is a good team. They're a little underseeded also, like some of the Mountain West schools. But TCU can do it. TCU's got athleticism and size to battle with Purdue if they get there in the second round. But Utah State is no cakewalk. So
Texas plays Colorado State, who at least warmed up with the win against Virginia. And then if they win, they have Tennessee, it appears. Rick Barnes, they play St. Mary's or St. Peter's. Never want to, like, take anything for granted. How deep can they go?
I think Texas has probably Elite Eight upside because we have seen Tyrese Hunter and Max A. Smith be on other tournament teams and do really well with those we have experience that way. And even the rest of their front court, Dylan Mitchell was on the team last year that was really good, and Dylan Dessou and Caden Sedgwick was on Virginia, who's been in and out of the tournament for a couple of years. So I think they have a really good roster for who they're playing, Colorado State. They have the guard, the wing, the big to match up pretty well. And even with Tennessee, I think they have a legit chance in my bracket. Little spoiler, I guess I'll post soon, but I have Texas winning somewhat because of Rick Barnes' lack of winning lately in March, but also I think Texas is good.
Well, they made the run last year to the Elite Eight, got knocked out by Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, they're just so erratic, Ryan. I think that's why they're so hard to put a finger on, is that they had this great, like, they can go to Lubbock and win a game by 20 points and then be at home and look like they forgot that basketball was happening in front of them.
Yeah, it's really tough, and I was at the game when they played Louisville. They barely beat Louisville early in the season, and I was kind of suspect. But like you said, in Big 12 play, they've shown that they can be okay. It's just what form of Texas are you going to get? And when you're filling out a bracket and when you're looking at it, it's tough to project. But that gives them good upside, but a really low floor. So
all right, go to tell everybody how to find you. I know on Twitter it's at RyanHammer09. Tell everyone how to find your material.
Yeah, during March, if you just search my name, Ryan Hammer, on whatever social media you're on, you're going to find me. If you're not, if you don't, I'm doing something wrong. So,
is there a player in particular that you think America doesn't know enough about? And I'm sure there may be 15 of them, but America doesn't quite know that they might fall in love with in the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, there's probably a long list of them. I think Tucker DeVries at Drake is one. Mm-hmm. People know it for sure. But I don't think the masses of people really know him enough. And Terrence Edwards at James Madison, the college basketball avid fans will have heard of him a little bit in the Sun Belt. But if JMU can do anything, it's going to be behind Terrence Edwards. And he is someone to really, really like. So,
Ryan, thank you. Good luck with your brackets online and also your knowledge. Appreciate your time. Ryan Hammer with us, Analytics Bracketology.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.